Noddy's on the floor. And King Cole comes away with the ball. Wilson calling for it over in the right corner. Yeah, King Cole was able to bring that in. Not a lot of defense there for Amiac that time around. Liam Brandle gets his fourth point of the game. There, Antioch again just trying to make these quick passes and getting a little ahead of themselves. I think if they just slow it down a step, a half a step there, they'll be okay. They proved that in the first half. They were able to work that ball around and find the open man and get the baskets they needed. That one goes off of King Cove, off of Wilson. So Antioch going to inbound this one just to the right of my broadcast position here. King Cove gets the ball in. Favorable puts there. Nice block there from Dahlman. Three on the way. No good there. Rebound goes to King Cove. Into the hands of Wilson for three. Shot no good. Gets tipped away there, and Antioch will come away with it. Steves with the ball. That's Ralph Steves. Nice move there by Nicholson. Shot no good though. Now back comes Michael Gould and the T-Jacks. Larson with the ball. King Cove doing a good job working that ball around and being patient with it. Getting it to Wilson. He'll take that three. In and out. No good. Oh. Wilson trying to add to that three-point total. He's got six of them right now. Antioch getting inside. That foul's going to go against number 12, Michael Gould. That'll be his third foul and the fourth team foul now on King Cove.
A foul by number 12, Michael Gould. That's his third, four team fouls for the T-Jacks, his quarter.
Timeout going to be taken. It'll be a 30-second timeout, so we'll keep it right here on the NFHS Network. It'll give us a chance to thank Hillcorp. They are a proud sponsor of the ASAA to help strengthen student wellness and foster development of positive life skills throughout Alaska. Also, we want to say thank you to NANA, celebrating over 50 years of Alaska Native strength and unity. You can find out more about NANA online at nana.com. That's NANA.com. Also, thank you to Alaska Commercial Company. They've been serving rural Alaska, are you ready for this, since 1867. Alaska Commercial extends their commitment to youth of all of our villages and to help them reach their own personal goals and to that of their team. So thanks to Hillcorp, NANA, and Alaska Commercial Company for being sponsors of the ASAA. Antioch with the ball now. Lead back out to 18, trying to cut back into that. King Cove will come away with it. This is Wilson getting tracked down from behind there by Steves. Wilson's able to get the ball back. Three-pointer on the way. It's good from Michael Gould. And body colliding underneath. Michael Gould dropping that three. 3-6-9. Well, 13 points for him.
The foul by number 15, Brian Larson. That's his fourth foul.
Larson picking up a foul there. That's four fouls now on Larson.
Robert Thompson.
Thompson trying to check into the game. So getting things sorted out here.
Okay.
13. Sailor Gould came off the court. Thompson in. And now Michael Gould having a conversation. And a 30-second timeout going to be taken now by King Cove. Again, we'll keep it right here on the NFHS Network because that'll give us a chance here to thank a few more of our sponsors, including Salt Chuck, empowering Alaska's youth. Salt Truck is proud to support high school sports activities to those students showing determination and commitment to their teams. So thank you, Salt Truck, for your sponsorship. OPA is a big sponsor of the ASAA. Of course, they are providing the medical needs for student athletes down here. We saw them in action earlier. And I know they've been in action on the other court as well. So thank you, OPA Alaska, for supporting ASAA and providing your services down here once again at the state tournament. Also, we want to say thank you to the Alaska Air National Guard. They are proud to support youth around the state while safeguarding the homeland and serving our communities right here in Alaska. They've got a booth down here at the Alaska Airline Center. I encourage you to stop by and say hi to them. And you can always find out more about the Alaska Air National Guard online. So referees over at the scorekeeper's table.
A correction on that foul. That was
we're going to go back, do some corrections.
From the half breeds, Ralph Steves, that's his second foul. First team foul of the quarter. And the correction then, Brendan Larson of the T-Jacks has three fouls.
Okay, so they did some correcting there. Larson, right at before we took that break, there was a whistle after the three-pointer. And so they're giving the foul to number 20. I think the foul goes over to Steves is what they're doing. So Ralph Steves is going to pick up the foul. That means Larson over on King Cove, instead of four, he really only has three fouls now. So that's where we're at.
Okay, with all that straightened out, therefore it will be the T-Jacks ball.
So King Cove's going to inbound the ball now after the three-pointer because of the foul. And they'll quickly go inside, shot up off the glass, no good there, and back comes Antioch now with it. Whew. All right, we got all that straightened out. 21-point lead is where we're at. King Cove in the lead there. Short jumper on the way, no good. I guess that was more medium-range jumper. In any event, Conto with the ball now. And Antioch looking to move this thing around. Three on the way. No good there. Rebound goes to King Cove, and back they'll come with it. That's Michael Gould with the ball right there. He'll send it back over to Brandle. Brandle has it again as they give it to Wilson. Back to Brandle. King Cove has done a good job just working it around, finding the open man for the shot. Here's one from the free throw line, essentially. Larson picking up two more, 6 points now for him. As the lead back up to 23, that's the biggest lead in the game. Antioch goes baseline with it, can't make it go. King Cove getting it up front. Wilson on the left if he wants him. No, he goes off the glass. Michael Gould puts it away himself. 15 points now for Larson. And a foul going to be called there, a blocking foul. And Michael Gould can't believe it. I think that'll be four on Gould.
Michael Gould, that's his fourth foul.
Yeah. Michael Gould's got four now.
We have a media timeout.
And a media timeout going to be taken, so we will definitely take it along with them. You're watching live coverage of the 2026 ASAA First National Bank Championships here on the NFHS Network.
Don't wake up every day and say, I'm going to have a health issue today. They need somebody to be curious. And when I can ask the right questions and understand, then I'm able to walk them through what's happening.
Start playing the
And welcome back to the Alaska Airlines Center. Tom Steigelman here with you on the NFHS Network, providing continuing live coverage of the ASAA First National Bank Alaska Championships. Teams coming back out onto the floor. Nicholson over for Antioch. Seems to be nursing that right ankle again. He twisted or came down on that wrong early in the first quarter. OPA came out, checked him out, took him over to the table, wrapped up his ankle, but he's been spending a little time here working that ankle loose again. See if that becomes a factor for him. Concha misses that first free throw there.
One more.
Concha gets the second in, but we'll have a lane violation.
Lane violation, no basket.
I think maybe Thompson maybe helped out get that Antioch player to fall into the lane there before the free throw. Good defense by Antioch with the takeaway. Foul going to go against number three there, Wilson. I think that'll be the second on to Wilson. And Nicholson getting up slow, hanging on to that ankle again. As he's out there starting to limp a little harder. In any event, at the line, it's going to be Ralph Steves. Gets his first point of the game in my unofficial book. Nicholson's got to go out there. That foul against Wilson, that was his third. Steves will get ready for his second free throw. On the way, good. Long down court pass. It's knocked away there. And they're going to give it to Antioch. And here comes a half-breed. Bringing it up fast this time. Has it knocked away. Body's on the ground. Hunta gets it. Going to try to get it to the corner. And Wang can't save it. Now, no doubt Antioch is quick, but they're a little too quick for their own good. King Cove working the ball around again. And what King Cove is doing here is, I think what Antioch needs to do is just work the ball around and create the openings instead of trying to force those passes. They've done that all game long. That one rolls in for Liam Brandle. But a takeaway there. Up and off the glass for an easy two there for Michael Gould. The lead stretches out now to 27. Three on the way, count it. So 7 points now for Conta. Wilson now lines up for a three. Can't make that go. Kinko battling in there once again. Larson dropping it in for two now. He's got 8 points. And another steal there for Kinko. Michael Gould working against Conta. Too hard off the glass. Wilson on the rebound. A four on one right now. And Thompson gets it for two. 8 points now for Thompson. Clock under a minute here in the third quarter. And that nice spin move there to kick it outside. Conta for three. Good.
3 points by Mohamed
Conte. Now here comes King Cove trying to answer it back. They give it to Thompson. Thompson fires it back outside to Larson. Working it around to Michael Gould. 18 seconds on the clock. Figure they'll just hang on to it to get the last shot here. Michael Gould with it. Going to get it to Larson. Back across. Wilson's not going to pass up a three-pointer. And he gets that one to go. His first three of the third quarter. as the clock winds down to zero. That's the way we're going to go to the break. It's 66-38 in favor of King Cove. You're watching live coverage of the ASAA First National Bank State Championships right here on the NFHS Network.
How long have you been a GCI customer for?
I would imagine since 2012.
I feel like it helps everybody throughout the YK Delta. We use the internet to trade, barter.
So what would you say that GCI provides for you that's like vital to what you do?
Service.
I'm going to be taking online classes to further my nursing career. I know this will help a lot too.
With streaming videos, watching movies, Netflix, being able to finally do that without interruptions.
Humble beginnings. Humble beginnings.
The world's wide open, and our people are brilliant and resilient.
And we have to have these new ideas, this new future of generations to come, to be able to support this corporation.
And welcome back to the Alaska Airlines Center. Tom Steigelman here with you on the NFHS Network, where King Cove is leading this one 66-38. That 28-point lead is the biggest one that they've had in this game. They had a little bit earlier in the third quarter and then was able to match it right at the end. Foul going to be called there. That's going to go against Conta.
That's his first foul.
That's his first.
First team foul.
Right there. King Cove going to keep possession of the ball as they will re-inbound it once again just to the right of my broadcast position. Larson going down to Wilson, now over to Thompson. He tries to do a spin move there, has it stripped away by Dahlman. That one goes out. It'll be a possession for Antioch. 7:49 left to go. And they've got some work to do. They're going to have to play a flawless fourth quarter here to get back into this one. Wilson knocks that one loose. Antioch will retain possession. Conta with the ball here for Antioch. Trying to create a little space to give it back to Conta. He goes inside, shot up, no good there. Gets tipped away, and King Cove will retain possession of this one. Good pressure in the backcourt there by Dahlman. Antioch matching up on the bodies, and there's just one of the steals they needed. Then they gave it up. Here comes Wilson now with the ball. Wilson's able to dribble himself across the timeline there. Now needs some help and has his pass taken away. And now here comes Antioch with a chance. Thought about a three. Now they force it. Shot no good. Rebound goes to Thompson. Somehow that wasn't a foul. But King Cove comes away with it. Good ball work there. And 2 points for Sailor Gould. 6 points now for Gould. Three-pointer on the way for Antioch. No good there. Rebound going to go to Larson. Conta back there, though, working hard for the ball. And we had a timeout taken here, I believe, is what's happened. Nope, that was a foul. Or did he call it? Either way, they're going to a timeout. We're going to keep it right here on the NFHS Network, so that we have a chance to thank Alaska Industrial Hardware. Turns out this will be a full one, but we'll still keep it here. Alaska Industrial Hardware, an Alaska native-owned hardware store. AIH believes in empowering and supporting Alaska's youth so that together we can build community. So thank you to Alaska Industrial Hardware for your sponsorship here of the ASAA. Also, we want to say thank you to Alaska Airlines. They are a proud sponsor of ASAA. with them traveling is encouraged by Alaska Airlines. Of course it is. And Club 49 is a free benefit program that's only for us right here in Alaska. You can visit club49hub.com to join. I'm a member of Club 49. Got to get those extra free bags, no doubt about that. It's a great reason to join. It's club49hub.com. Also, we want to say thank you to Santos. They are proud to unlock more oil and jobs on state lands for Alaskans, and equally proud to support ASAA and student athletes throughout our state. Thank you to all the sponsors here of the ASAA. All right, we'll get back to it here. 30-point differential now. King Cove in control of this one, looking to advance to the second round.
The foul by number 34, Robert Thompson, catches his first foul.
Thompson picking up his first foul there, sending Dahlman to the line to shoot. His free throws on the way. Count that one. 5 points now for Dahlman in my unofficial total. Dahlman gets set for his second. That's on the way. Count that one. All right. Back comes King Cove with it. Antioch going to be working hard trying to create some turnovers here. Thompson with a little spin in the lane there. Can't make it go outside to Larson. His three's no good. Nice big strong rebound there by Dahlman, and he'll come away with it for Antioch. Antioch making the move there. Dahlman, now they get outside to Conta. He'll take the three. No good there. Rebound to Thompson. Thompson's going to give that up to Brandall, and he'll bring it across. Brandall gets it down to Gould off the glass. It's good for two. Sailor Gould with two more. 8 points for him. Now 13 there, going to pick up. That's Sailor Gould. That'll be his fourth foul.
The foul by number 13, Sailor Gould. That's his fourth foul. Second team
30-point differential here with 5:46 left to go in this one. Antioch, three-pointer from the corner off the side of the rim, no good. Thompson now with the ball. Randall with pass down underneath, reverse layup, no good. Thompson in there battling for the rebound, getting tied up. Cloud calling for a travel, no call there. Back comes Antioch. Conta still on the ground. Now he gets up there in the backcourt. That one gets tipped away. Goes behind the Alaska Airlines sign. So they'll dig that out, and then Antioch will get set up here. Antioch with it in quickly. Now they're starting to move that ball around the arc. Good pass inside there, and it's good for two. Number 22, Smith, picking up more, so he's got nine now. Long down court pass there, a little high. Somehow King Cove coming away with it, though. Three-pointer on the way, no good there. Rebound going to Antioch. Body's tied up. It's going to be a jump ball, I would guess. There it is, possession arrow in favor of Antioch.
Jump ball, and it will belong to the half-breeds on the alternating possession.
So the half-breed's going to get ready to bring this down the court. Down by 28 right now. 4:47 left to go in this one. And away we go. No good there as you saw, and once again, here comes King Cove with it. They'll bring it across. Thompson backing his way in now with that turnaround jumper, no good. Saved by Larson. Gets it out to Gould. Now over to Brandall. And a quick 2 points there for Larson. 10 points now for Larson as the lead extends back out to 30. Dahlman in the backcourt tying his shoe as play continues. Conta goes up, shot no good there. Tipped by Larson, goes to Gould, and now here comes King Cove once again. Gould gets it up over to Brandle. Now back to Gould. Over to Sailor Gould. Now two off the glass there for Larson.
Underneath for two.
Three on the way. Good. Smith dropping the three.
Gavin Smith in the bonus.
29-point lead now. Knocked away there. Now Larson on the defensive side of things. And team's going to be making some substitutions here.
Riley Wilson into the game for the T-Jacks. Richard John, Jordan Steves, and Carson Peterson to the lineup for ENIAC.
So ENIAC kind of clearing out their bench there, bringing some guys in, giving them a little experience here at the state level. That's good to see. I expect King Cove will do the same thing here with a couple of their subs in a couple of minutes. Conta picking up two there.
Mohammed Conte with a jumper for two.
King Cove answers back with a three there from Michael Gould.
A three-pointer.
10 points this half, 20 on the game. The lead goes back out to 30, 77-47 as you see on your screen. 2:36 left to go. Jordan Steves has his shot blocked. Three-pointer on the way from Wilson's good.
Riley Wilson, another three-pointer.
Under 2 minutes, or coming up on 2 minutes left to go here. King Cove with another takeaway. Conta getting helped up. Good sportsmanship there from Larson. Stay behind the play to help out the injured player. Wilson drops another three in the meantime.
Riley
Wilson. 83-47 is now your score. And that shot missed there from ENIAC. And the T-Jacks are going to bring in their final two subs off the bench. They're going to go ahead
and
send in the players from the bench there. So far into the game. And then Yachminev seeing his first action with a minute 37. So here comes King Cove with it. They try to get it to Yachminev. Goes off of ENIAC and out. 1:28 left to go in this one. Cross court pass there. Farr takes it from the free throw line. Shot no good. Rebound goes to ENIAC. Wang will bring it up now for the half breeds. Getting it over to Jordan Steve. Now to the corner for John. Shot no good. Follow up is good for two from big number 32, Peterson. Getting his name in the scoring book.
With a fadeaway shot.
Less than a minute left to go in this one. And another three-pointer there. Actually, that's his first three-pointer, but another three-pointer for the team. Long three-pointer on the way there. Shot no good. Rebound goes to King Cove. Back comes King Cove with it. Let's see. They'll be working it over to Yachminev. Nope. Three on the way there. Couldn't make it go. Crowd was pulling for him. And a rebound goes to King Cove. Yachminev. They get it to him. Yes, it's good for two.
Fast break layup by...
And the crowd goes crazy for that basket.
The freshman.
3 on the win, no good, and that's the way this game is going to end. 88-49 is your final as we get ready to wrap this broadcast up. Let me go over the scoring for you real quick the best I can.
The final score.
Over on the Antioch side of things, Lane had 12 points, Nicholson had 2, Dahlman had 6. Let me see.
The T-Jacks will advance to play
12.
Tomorrow afternoon.
Ralph's had 2.
At 4:45 p.m. in a quarterfinal
12.
Game against the
and
winner of
Peterson
today's 12:30 p.m. game
over on the King Cove side of things. Liam Brandle had 6 points.
Tomorrow afternoon
Wilson had, man, a whole ton of
Airlines
points here.
Center
lots of 3-pointers. He had 9 3-pointers all together, according to my unofficial book. So he had 28 total is what he came down with because he had a free throw in the mix. Yachmi Neff picked up 2 points there. Michael Gould had 10. 15, 20 points for him. Sailor Gould, let me see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 11 points for him. Larson had 12 points, and Thompson had 8 points. So you add all that together, that should give you about 88 points there.
Number 5,
so congratulations to King Cove, and they advance here in this one. Dahlman picking up the player of the game. And then over for the T-Jacks.
It's number 3, Riley Wilson.
Wilson is the player of the game for the T-Jacks. Again, he had 9 3-pointers in that one, so deadly from the outside in that game. Now, what does this mean for these teams in this tournament with the win? King Cove advances to tomorrow's game. That'll be at 4:45 right here on the NFHS Network. So, again, that's tomorrow at 4:45. Antioch will advance to the consolation bracket. They'll be playing at 4:45 in the auxiliary gym over here at the Alaska Airlines Center. And so that game, again, 4:45. Both those games at the same time going to be available here on the NFHS Network.
Okay, that wraps up the first game of the state basketball in Anchorage. 88-49 in favor of King Cove. Your player of the game was Riley Wilson. And we'll continue basketball a little later today at 12:30. We'll have the Sandpoint Eagles playing somebody. That'll be here on KSDP, so come on back for that.
The second quote is right underneath it. With truth and knowledge comes healing. Once we know better, we can do better. And Michigan is distinct, Andy, because of the 1934 Comstock Agreement. According to the report, and it is important to know that Michigan has the only instance where the federal government entered into an agreement whereby the state of Michigan accepted full responsibility for providing Native education without further cost to the federal government. And so I think there's a tie to having to why Michigan in particular is a vital and central geography to be having this conversation. And I think that the consequences are is that it would be a silencing of this knowledge that's essential for professionals going into education, going into social services, writing public policy, and truly understanding how the legacy of the schools in Michigan have influenced the society as a whole, but have impacted the Native and tribal nations and Native citizens who live in Michigan, but tribal nations maybe elsewhere, who are citizens of Michigan today.
Okay. And one of the conclusions from the report is that law enforcement officials were more complicit in boarding school operations than was previously known. Is that a revelation that improves our understanding of how boarding schools worked?
I think it's very important to know that there was hand-in-hand cooperation with law enforcement agencies. I'm not going to say specifically anything from the state of Michigan because my knowledge is actually more federal level of instances where parents were told, we're going to withhold rations, we're going to withhold support from you if you don't give us your students. And those were individuals who were hired by the federal government. So within the state of Michigan, I can't speak to the same level of detail that this report can about law enforcement. But I know in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, a community known as Lackfeet Air Band of Lake Superior Ojibwe, up near Watersmeet, Michigan, you know, the little kids feared for that bus coming to take them down to Harbor Springs. And there's stories of, you know, children running into the woods, being told by their relatives, run and escape this bus that's coming, that's going to take you away. And so there were some that were successful in staying hidden and didn't get on that bus taking them downstate to the schools. So the communities at the time knew and understood what was happening and how that these children were being taken away. But I don't think our general community and neighbors who are non-Native and non-tribal have a clear understanding and how much more their knowledge could be expanded if they knew this distinct history.
Right. So you speak regularly to boarding school survivors. How far do you think has healing come to Michigan Native communities with or without this single report?
It is making its turn. I will say that my mother was Grand River Six Nations in Southeast Ontario. And her father, my maternal grandfather, attended the what's known as the Mush Hole in Brantford, Ontario. So as a descendant, I'm recognizing that significance of voices of descendants as well as survivors, right? Canada has done stuff and done work with Truth and Reconciliation. It's not perfect. It's not idea. But the United States, the state of Michigan, can be doing more to kind of take steps into that same conversation to say, listen, this is our history. It's part of our foundation. And it's one of the reasons why there is a tension between educational institutions and tribal nations. And so we see the data that comes from that in our high school graduation and college graduation rates. We need to heal from that so we can also be contributing active global citizens to the state of Michigan and beyond. And so I think we need to start following in the footsteps of truth, healing, and repair. And this report could be those initial steps towards that.
All right. You can have a look at Ron French's work in The Bridge, Michigan on our website. We posted a link to his story on our website, nativeamericacalling.com. That's where you can also continue this conversation. We'll be back after this break.
Support by the Gathering of Nations Powwow. The Last Dance is this April 24th and 25th at Expo New Mexico. The Gathering of Nations Traders Market will be in the Creative Arts and Lujan Buildings both days. Tickets available at gatheringofnations.com and at the gates.
Need help identifying community priorities? Kaufman & Associates' approach to evaluation is rooted in Indigenous knowledge, honoring tribal history, and sovereignty. More at kaufmaninc.com. KaufmanInc.com.
Hello, high school students. ANSEP, the Alaska Native Science and Engineering Program, is inviting you to start earning college credits while you learn about STEM career opportunities. ANSEP is accepting applications for free acceleration academies for high school students at your local University of Alaska campus. Find out more, and applications are available at ANSEP.net. This message is sponsored by ANSEP, the Alaska Native Science and Engineering Program. Join us for the 30th annual Alaska Native Art Auction, presented by Kowanic Broadcast Corporation on Saturday, March 21st at the Hotel Captain Cook in Anchorage. Enjoy an evening featuring a hosted dinner, an Indigenous fashion show, and live music, bringing community members and leaders together to elevate Native artists and voices. Get your tickets or become a sponsor today at knba.org.
That's knba.org. Eighth Generation is a Seattle-based lifestyle brand owned by the Snoqualmie Tribe, offering authentic native-designed blankets, jewelry, and gifts. More at Reservation Economic Summit booths 805 and 21 and at 8thGeneration.com who support this show.
We're glad you're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Andy Murphy. We're going to take time now to explore Senator Mark Wayne Mullen's recent nomination to head of the Department of Homeland Security. Mullen is a Cherokee Nation citizen, and he has held office in both the U.S. Senate and the House. If appointed, Senator Mullen will be the second Native American cabinet secretary in history. Join us with a comment or question by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's 1-800-99-NATIVE. You can also join the conversation on our social media pages. Let's take a listen to part of an earlier interview with Oklahoma-based political strategist Alan Wright. He is the founder and president of the Hustings Group, and he is Choctaw. He spoke to producer Sol Traverso about Senator Mark Wayne Mullen's nomination. Wright says the action by President Trump is historic.
Well, I think it's a tribute to our people. It's good that people are recognizing Mark Wayne as Native American, and I'm thrilled. I mean, he's a proud Cherokee, and he represents his nation very well, and Indian country in Oklahoma. So it's, you know, as a proud Oklahoman and a proud Native American, it's a win-win.
Yeah, and he's well-known in Oklahoma, but not so much the rest of the country. What should the public know about him?
Oh, gosh, I'm happy to talk about My friend Mark Wayne. I mean, he is someone who is a very driven, focused entrepreneur. You know, his story, he took over a failing plumbing service. You know, there's some stories that he inherited this successful enterprise. I mean, he at 20 years old, he'd take over for, you know, his father in a business that was, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And he turned that around into a highly successful statewide enterprise. And my interaction with Mark Wayne through the years is, you know, just, you know, when someone is an entrepreneur, there's an instinct, a reflex, and a drive that they have that really is innate. I mean, you can teach entrepreneurship, but I'm convinced that most successful entrepreneurs are born, and Mark Wayne is a natural entrepreneur, very, very focused, competitive, driven, disciplined, all those things.
And what can we expect from Mullen as leader of DHS, which, among other things, oversees immigration enforcement and potential counterterrorism? What should we expect from him?
Hyper-focus. And Mark Wayne, you know, Senator Mullen, you know, has been on the news a lot because he's close to President Trump, so he's often a commentator. But he's someone that's going to roll up his sleeves and do the work. I don't think you'll see him, you know, seeking the limelight maybe as his predecessor did, and some things that led to her, you know, early departure from the department. And he's smart enough to recognize that as well, that was some mistakes that Secretary Noem did. So I think you're going to find him to be, you know, someone that's actively working and not cutting commercials, if you will, with him at the center of it. I don't think being the center of attention is his aim in life.
Mm. Yeah, and, I mean, what do we know about his track record in office that we can pull from? Are there any highlights in your view?
Well, I think he's been a consistent hawk, you know, from a national defense standpoint, pro-law enforcement, rule of law sort of policy planks. So he's going to be very consistent with President Trump. And I can't give you a literal example, But he's operated in the practical world. He's dealt with, you know, our own challenges here in Oklahoma with the McGirt decision and how that's created conflict and complications. And I think Mark Wayne has navigated that quite deftly. And so I think you'll see him apply good judgment in the application of Homeland Security, which has, as you know, an immense wide array of responsibilities.
Do you see any hurdles for his confirmation in the Senate?
Maybe so. I expect him to be confirmed. He and Senator Paul have locked horns, and I mean, Senator Paul's chairman of the committee that he's got to run through. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch. And, you know, there may be some others that will, you know, be lukewarm on his appointment, but I suspect, particularly given world events and the need to get somebody in that job, that he'll be confirmed.
What does his appointment do for Oklahoma?
First of all, it created a political earthquake in Oklahoma. The domino effect is still being felt. But it, for us, it should be a point of pride. I mean, we haven't had, I think, one other cabinet secretary. We've had head of BIA. You know, it's good to see a native Oklahoman, you know, rise to, you know, very, very prominent position in our government.
You know, he's had some controversial moments. I mean, he once challenged a Teamster boss to a fist fight. I mean, how will that play out as a cabinet secretary?
Well, we'll just have to kind of see. You know, he is who he is. But let's go back to the Teamsters moment for an example. I mean, you know, in the good Eastern Oklahoma fashion, he bowed up and was ready to go. But he and O'Brien have become friends now. I mean, he's supporting him. They've gone on joint speaking engagements together. So they've gone from conflict to, you know, stand up and let's fight here in the middle of the United States Senate hearing room, to now being partners. And I think that says a lot.
That was a taped interview with Choctaw citizen and political strategist Alan Wright, speaking about Senator Mark Wayne Mullen's nomination to be the next Department of Homeland Security Secretary. An extended version of the interview will be available on our website, nativeamericacalling.com. Joining us now from Tahlequah, Oklahoma, is Wes Nofire. He is the former Oklahoma Native American liaison, a former Cherokee Nation council member, and a former professional athlete. He is a citizen of the Cherokee Nation. Welcome back to Native America Calling, Wes.
Hey, good to be on.
You and Senator Mullen are both citizens of the Cherokee Nation. He's received praise from other Cherokee leaders like Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin. What is your reaction to Mullen's nomination?
You know, it is interesting. You have someone who, you know, we've known each other for a while. In fact, families know each other from way back whenever my sister and him actually shared going to high school together at Stillwell High School. So, you know, it's fun when you get to see someone who you know and are acquainted with reach kind of a pinnacle moment to be in a very important position. And so, you know, we stand behind decisions that are made out of D.C. We're all Americans here, and we just want to support the right decision, the right leader being there. And it's fun being able to see that it's someone that you are acquainted with and know.
All right. In a recent article from the Oklahoman, you described Senator Mark Wayne Mullen as resorting to outlandish tactics to get attention. What did you mean by that, and how would you describe his brand of politics?
Well, whenever I mention that, and I haven't even read the article, the truth is sometimes when you're needing to get the attention of people on what's going on, you may have to be a little bit more flamboyant to address something that you're passionate about, and that passion comes out in some more flamboyant moments. And I think that's what we've seen, is that, you know, Mark Wayne is passionate about things. That passion comes out. It can make some people excited to see it, and some people are saying, "I, you shouldn't have done that." But nevertheless, it drew attention to what's going on. And I think as Americans and as a people that have a 24-hour news service, you don't know what to pay attention to. And so, you know, now we get an opportunity to see some highlight reels and pay attention to some things, right? Because a lot of government things that are getting done can be mundane and boring. But that's not to say that we need it all the time. We need these flamboyant moments all the time. And so I think that's kind of where I was drawing that attention to whenever it was asked. You know, he's said some things or done some things that people may have not liked. And I said, well, I may have not liked him either. However, he's drawing attention to an issue. And so if you draw attention to an issue, I think it's important that we take notice of it. And he definitely has a way of getting people to take notice of those issues.
All right. The Department of Homeland Security encompasses immigration, counterterrorism, and even responding to national disasters. How does Senator Mullen's leadership experience play into those functions?
Well, I think you got to go back to just being born and raised in kind of a rural part of America, in which our communities, they have to bond together when natural disaster happens. We can't rely on sometimes even a 911 phone call because it takes too long for an ambulance or law enforcement to come there. It's gotten better over the years, but you know, you go back 20 and 30 and 40 years ago, you were the frontline defense of your own house and your own community. And so those are experiences that you don't get in politics. You get those ingrained in your DNA growing up. And so saying all that, I think that's a baseline to start with. And if you look at the way he's led his life on developing a business, and, you know, in order to be successful in business, you have to take care of what either is good for your company and also what's a threat, because you have employees that rely on you. You have employees that are going to be providing for their family. And so if there's a threat there, you're going to have to defend that and make calculated decisions from a business standpoint. And then you move that into his political arena. And he's definitely done the same thing. Things that have threatened our country, things that are concerns for our country from the exterior aspect of it, he's always shown that he's been very supportive of putting Americans first and ensuring that our policies and the things that are going to be affecting us, those things are the priority in what he's been doing in government. And so I think that's why he was probably called up for this role. He's been very supportive of the president for many years, all the way dating back for his first run for presidency. So I didn't really see it come out of left field for the nomination. I seen that, well, this is a guy who fits that bill. He supports, he has very good charisma in front of a TV screen. And so as an administrator, moving from being a politician to now an administrative role, you know, he has a vocal box to be able to support his administration that he oversees, being Homeland Security, whenever the need and the time comes, and hopefully doesn't fall into the mistakes that our previous secretary had made. Which is sometimes, you know, you continue wearing that political hat, which is ABC, always be campaigning. And, you know, and as a politician, that's kind of where you're always thinking at, is how does this make this good for the country? Also, how does it make good for me to continue making good positional changes in a way that I can stay in this role? And you have to take that off, because you're not in this role forever. I mean, Kristi Noem's been in there just a little over a year. And so this isn't something you're campaigning on. This is really your campaigning is to protect your agency and your agency making those decisions. The president's making those decisions. So, you know, that's why I consider my hopes and my prayers is that he's able to take the political hat off and be a driver and a focus on supporting and being a support staff for that agency. Because that's ultimately what he is. He's a support staff for the agency.
All right. And we have a little bit more than a minute before the end of the show. You both are former professional fighters. How does that experience help as a politician?
I kind of have to make a joke. When you have a professional bout, it doesn't necessarily make you a professional. He did have some professional MMA fights. I think he had two or three. That was my profession. I didn't do anything else. I didn't work. I didn't have any other jobs. It was make or break for me, and I had 22 professional fights. But saying that from an experienced profession, that anybody who's willing to take their shirt off and step into the ring and go mano-a-mano with somebody, you have a lot of self-confidence. And that self-confidence goes a long way in life. And so with someone like him, to have the self-confidence to step inside of an octagon and scrap a couple of fights with somebody, that I think shows his character from leadership roles that, hey, I'm very confident with where I'm standing on positions, and I can't be moved. And I think some places like Homeland Security, this is such a place that we can't move. We don't want to see someone in there who is maybe a little bit dances around a little bit. No, these are hardline facts, and these are the hill that I'm willing to die on. And I think having that former experience in a combat sport helps build that character, and that's what I think it brings out of people.
All right. Well, listeners, if you'd like to hear more about Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, we've had him on our show a couple of times. He was on our show back in 2024 when we did our live broadcast at the Republican National Convention. He was also a Native in the Spotlight back in November 24th, 2015. So lots more information about politics and Natives in politics on our website, NativeAmericaCalling.com. I want to say thank you to our guests who joined us. We had Dr. April Lindela, Joanne Kaufman, Ron French, Wes Nofire, and Alan Wright. Join us tomorrow as we look at efforts by some states to confront their role in the forced sterilization of Native women. I'm Andy Murphy.
For more than 40 years, Ramona Farms has revived ancient traditional foods, tepary beans, pinoli, polentas, and more, all from store.ramonafarms.com. Ramona Farms supports this show. Omye.
Support from Davis-Kalin Law Firm, a New Mexico firm standing with Native families suffering catastrophic loss. When tragedy strikes Indian Country, we fight to restore stability, dignity, and justice. Bringing a voice to Native families and communities for 20 years. More information, DavisKalin.com.
Who protects Indian Country? Amerind does. As the only 100% tribally owned insurance carrier, Amerind helps strengthen tribal communities by providing reliable insurance coverage and keeping dollars in Indian Country. From property and liability to commercial auto and tribal workers' compensation, Amerind is here to protect what matters. Celebrating 40 years of serving Indian Country. Learn more at Amerind.com. That's Amerind.com.
Satellite service.
I didn't even.
my hero. Here comes the security. I'm your my hero. I'm your girl in a church. If you see my daughter, tell her Canada and thank her. I raise my hand, every night I wanted to scream. I raise my hand, every night I wanted to scream.